folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and it is Wednesday. Oh my, already November, folks. 2 November 2022. And I'll be by myself today. Wendy Wilson cannot make it today. She had a prior engagement. She has emailed me a couple of days ago and said she can't be here, and I'm going to miss her. You all will, too, because Wendy's always a fountain of knowledge. But this is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm sitting in today for Melody Seastrom. This is Financial Survival, and you know Melody's information on what she does and why she does it. Anytime you want to call and talk to Melody about what's going on in the world, what you can do to prepare yourself for it, you call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Got a lot of news covered today, so we'll get started right away. We'll start with the metals. The metals took a hit again today, folks. But believe me, when it changes, it's going to change big. Gold was down 810 to 1638.66. Silver is down 30 to 1933. Platinum was down $2.50 to 940. Palladium was down 29.50 to 1856. So we've seen that metals taking a hit. And of course, we know that the Fed raised the interest rates another 0.75 today. What's going to happen with that? I don't know what's going to happen with that, folks. I don't know. I can't see where it can do a whole lot of good. We will see in a very short time, I'm sure. But I think maybe they let this get too big this time to put it out with this. So we'll have to wait and see. The markets, well, the U.S. markets were all down. The Dow Jones was down 376 to 32,276. NASDAQ was down 301 to 10,589. S&P was down 78 to 3,778. So those took a hit along the lines there. The DAX was down 0.61% to 13,256. FTSE was down 0.58% to 71.44. Hang Seng was up 2.1% to 15,827. Nikkei was down 0.06 to 27,663. So mixed markets, one up and the rest of them down in the foreign markets also. USDX was up 0.41 to 111.88. We'll see where that goes, I suppose. Oil was also up 0.73 to 89.10. And the 10-year yield was also up 0.028 to 4.08. So a real mix there. A real mix. And really not much of a change when the market's barely up, barely down. Of course, you know, now that the Dow Jones is up over 32, everybody seems to be happy again. But I don't know how long this is going to happen. Last, folks, I don't have this is all. I don't need to tell you all this. The Dow Jones is a balloon like all the rest of the economy is, because of inflation, things go higher, so things look higher than they really are and worth more than they really are. But that's the way things are. And so in the world news today, North Korea fired at least 23 missiles, folks, into the sea, including one that landed less than 60 kilometers off South Korea's coast, which the South President Yoon Sung-yeol described as territorial encroachment. It was the first time a ballistic missile had landed near the South's waters since the peninsula was divided in 1945, and the most missiles fired by the North in a single day. What's that heating up to? I don't know. It doesn't sound very promising, does it? Russia said it would resume its participation in a deal to free up vital grain exports from Ukraine after suspending it over the weekend in a move that had threatened to exacerbate hunger across the world. In an emotional appeal, Ukrainian First Lady Olena Zelensky urged tech workers from around the world to create innovations to stop Russia and help save people in her war-torn country. So Russia has relented. They're going to let the grain ship. That should ease tension somewhat on food prices, I would say, and food availability in some places. So we'll see on that. I think that's a bit of good news there. I do believe that. I don't think it's really a crack in the standoff, but it is good news. Anyway, some more good news. Maybe we're going to see some retribution now for the COVID foolishness. I mean foolishness, folks. This COVID plan that didn't make the hoax that took over this country and the world for so long. It's starting to see some kickback now. Judge tosses New York City's COVID vaccine mandate, orders fired city workers back pay. Good for the judge. New York City's controversial COVID-19 vaccine mandate for municipal workers was enacted illegally, and employees who were fired for refusing to comply must be immediately reinstated with back pay, a judge said, a judge's rule. It is time for the city of New York to do what is right and what is just, Staten Island Supreme Court Justice Ralph Pozzuolo wrote in a decision made public Tuesday. More than 1,750 city workers were fired for refusing to get vaccinated, including 36 members of the New York Police Department and more than 150 Department of Education employees. In his 13-page ruling, Pozzuolo said then-City Health Commissioner David Chosky's October 20, 2021 order violates separation of powers doctrine enshrined in the state constitution. So that is some good news. That is some good news. We're seeing some justice done now over this COVID nonsense that has hurt many people in so many different ways all over the world, folks. And we haven't recovered from it yet, and we never will. What we've started and what they started on the supply chain shortages, what they started on the food shortages, they're going to exacerbate until the point that they're going to get what they want out of this. And what it's going to bring forward, and really in the long run, I really don't know as far as how far people will have to go. I have no idea. Peter Schiff put a good article here. I'll read part of it to you. The Fed got everybody drunk on cheap money, but the party is over. And I think this is why I think the interest rate, again today, this interest rate hike, will not change the outcome this time to any significant amount at all. A lot of people seem to think that the Fed had just started fighting inflation a little earlier, we wouldn't have seen the rapidly rising prices that continues today. The mistake, they say, was thinking inflation was transitory. But as Peter Schiff has pointed out, this problem didn't start last year or even with the pandemic. This problem started decades, it was decades in the making. And folks, Melody and I both have said that, Melody a lot more times than I have. This didn't start last year. This didn't start 2 years ago. This didn't start 20 years ago. This started back in the 1930s at least. And at the root of the problem was year after year of easy money. Wall Street was drunk on cheap money for a decade, and it ultimately is going to end in another financial crisis. The severity of the main investments and the misallocations of resources, of the monumental mistakes that have been made throughout the economy by the government, the private sector, corporations, individuals, everybody has made mistakes because of this cheap money. Just look at the federal government. It has added trillions of dollars to the national debt over the last decade. It recently eclipsed $31 trillion. A year ago, Janet Yellen was saying that big debt wasn't a problem because interest rates were low. Well, they're not low anymore. This is a perfect example of cheap money incentivized bad decision-making. The love of money is still the root of all evil. The love of money is still the root of all evil. And folks, the elite no longer need the money so much as they need the control. That's why they're chipping away at our foundations every day to get us into a condition where we can all no longer truly resist and where we'll start begging for help, as we will when the beast system takes over and the Antichrist shows on the scene. We'll be begging for help, and they'll provide the help. All it's going to cost us is our souls. Matter of fact, it's already cost a lot of souls. U.S. natural gas spikes as temperatures are about to dive nationwide. Now we're seeing a warming here in West Virginia. We could hit record highs this weekend, and it's all through the Midwest. But U.S. natural gas prices catapulted into the stratosphere Monday morning after new two-week weather forecast showed average temperatures across country would begin to dive next week, driving up heating demand. Natural gas for December deliveries soared as much as 13% to 640 per million British thermal units in New York. Prices have come off the highs at the start of the U.S. cash recession, still up 10% around 627. Bloomberg cited data from private forecaster Maxer Technology that shows cold weather in the West will traverse the country into the Midwest next week. The two-week outlook for the U.S. over 48 shows average temperature will begin to sink Sunday and fall well below the 30-year mean through the second half of the month. Well, we'll see. That so far they're calling for a record this weekend. I guess, of course, this is talking about further in the future. But they said the gas rally underscores how sensitive traders are to potential coal blasts at below normal stockpiles, and booming exports stoke concern about whether supplies will be enough to meet demand in a deep freeze. Well, we're exporting a lot of this, we know, to Europe. UK because they need the help right now. Because the Russians shut off the gas, and of course the pipelines were bombed or blew up, and we'll discuss that more in a minute too. And from inside information, I think that we'll see what's coming of that. So this article ties in with this, and I think, folks, I don't know this is going to happen, but I just do believe this winter is going to be different. No matter who comes out ahead in the election next week, no matter whether we go red or stay blue or whatever it's going to be, even if we go red completely, I don't think you better hold your breath for a whole lot of change, a lot of different things. But nonetheless, that's going to put the other side in a tizzy with about 2 months left in office to see what maybe they can do to further their agenda before they're gone. Americans are about to freeze. Warning sounds alarm of another serious Biden-induced crisis coming in the next few months. Winter is coming. Energy is expensive, and there's a limited supply. On top of that, Russia hauled most of the natural gas exports, increasing demand for natural gas all over the world. New England states are facing blackouts because they're struggling to import enough natural gas to get them through the winter. ISO New England Incorporated, the region's power grid operator, is warning that several cold snaps could cause rolling blackouts in the middle of winter. Vamsi Chadavalada, the grid operator's chief operating officer, told the WSJ the most challenging aspect of this winter is what's happening around the world and the extreme volatility in the markets. If you are in the commercial sector, at what point do you buy fuel? So the volatility of markets, folks, is going to make things very unstable, obviously. But part of the problem causing the potential blackout is that Jones Act. There's a shortage of American vessels that can transport natural gas, and the act doesn't allow foreign flag vessels to transport U.S. exports to domestic ports. New England does not import American LNG because the Jones Act, which limits how cargo is transported by sea, bans foreign flagships transporting goods between U.S. ports. So we'll see. May the Jones Act that's been enacted, 100 years ago or longer, may have to disappear for this, but the warning, it could get cold, folks, this winter. I hope this is just something that will go away, will not happen. But it doesn't sound too promising of what the future holds for this country and the world. But don't fear. Janet Yellen, Trade Secretary Yellen says she does not see signs of recession. I wonder what world these people live in. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said Thursday that she does not see any signs of recession in the near future. Her remarks come following a GDP report from the Commerce Department that revealed the U.S. economy expanded at 2.6% annual rate in the third quarter. That means a streak of back-to-back contractions raising fears of recession could end. What we're seeing right now is solid growth this quarter. Growth is obviously slowed following a very rapid recovery from the high unemployment, Yellen said in interviews with CNN's Aaron Burnett out front. We're at a full employment economy. It's very natural that growth would slow, and it has over the first three quarters of the year, but it continues to be okay. We have a very strong labor market. I don't see signs of recession in the economy at this point, she continued. We have unemployment at 50-year low. We saw this. It's all in this morning's report. Consumer spending and investment spending continue to grow. We have solid household finances. I don't know where these people are coming from. Anyway, business finances, banks that are well capitalized, she said. This is not an economy that's in recession, and we continue to do well. Yellen did acknowledge that inflation is unacceptably high. Americans feel that every day, she said. Noting that it will likely take a few years to see prices fall back to levels that people are more accustomed to. It ain't going to happen, people. And I can't believe she said we have solid household finances. I can't believe that. And businesses are financing. Maybe some businesses are really booming. Oil and gas probably are. But small businesses are struggling. And I know families are struggling. Kids just to put food on the table. So I don't know how she could say that household finances are not struggling. It's just beyond me. The arrogance of these people, just is amazing. Endangered freedom. endangered freedom. Communist China is buying up American infrastructure, land, and assets. Now, here's what's going on, folks. There are very few companies left in the United States that actually produce products made here, in case you have not noticed. And even those companies that still appear to be based here are, in many cases, actually owned by Communist China. Take General Electric, for instance. This major household appliance company that has been around forever, originally based out of Louisville, Kentucky, was bought by Haier, a Chinese corporation, back in 2016. Haier purchased GE for $5.4 billion, representing the largest acquisition of a foreign electronics business in China. GE is technically still headquartered in Louisville, but the company's true headquarters are now in Orangdou, China. AMC Theaters is another seemingly U.S.-based company that is now owned by China. In 2012, a Beijing-based entity called the Dalian Wanda Group bought out AMC in a $2.6 billion deal, transferring ownership of the company to more than 8,200 screens straight to the communist. Smithfield Foods, the world's largest pork producer, was snatched up by China's Shanghai International in 2013 for $4.7 billion, which at the time was the biggest purchase of American company by a Chinese firm. GE became the biggest in 2016. We also reported that General Motors, America's largest vehicle manufacturing company, was purchased in part by Shanghai Automotive Industry, Incorporated, in 1998. In 2005, IBM's personal computer division was handed over to a Chinese corporation called Lenovo, which bought the company for $1.25 billion. Folks, America has no true production facilities left in this country that we manufacture and produce or own American-made goods, owned and operated by American companies. As we're losing more every day. That is the undermining destruction of economy. Ross Perot, many years ago, warned that we would hear a big sucking sound, and we did, and we still are. America has been taken down piece by piece, dollar by dollar. But again, the love of money is still the root of all evil. And we're seeing this coming together so quickly now, folks. It's just coming together so quickly. It breaks my heart to see things that when I was a young man, we could pick up and say, made in the USA. Made in Japan was considered junk, and it usually was. Now, made in the USA is almost a non-existent label. Well, we can find some. But even buying clothing in a store, you can buy the same size off the same rack, and they don't fit you because they're made in different places, Bangladesh or whatever. And they don't fit because they're not the standards of U.S. sizes. That's America today, folks. Back at the break, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, me with you. All things ain't what they used to be.
You know, folks, during the break there, I was talking to our producer, Todd. I want to tell you what. Todd Waite is a fantastic guy to work with. He's a professional, and I love giving him a hard time. He's a great guy to work with. But I was telling a story to him that I think's relevant, and he may not think so, but I think so. Many years ago, folks, when I was just a little feller, I was so little that when Dad went to work sometimes early in the morning, I'd go crawl in Beth Mom. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I'm guessing, in that area. And I remember, and I guess he's working Hoodell. I guess he come home in the coal mine. He worked coal mines 40-some years. He come home from work, and this must have been morning, come in the bedroom, and Mom and I were still there. And he come in, and he looked at my mom and said, he called Mom Shorty. That's what his nickname for. He said, "Shorty, I made $80 this week." And I thought, to me, I mean, $80 didn't mean anything to me back then because I was, I know, 5 or 6 years old. But that was big money back in the 50s, folks. I was probably back in 1952, 53. I was born in 48, so in that area. But you multiply that times about 30 now, and you see what kind of money we're talking about today. But he made $80. Tickle Pink make $80. He could feed a family of four on $80 a week. Now, that is how things would change this country economically with fiat currency. $80 wouldn't feed a family of four for 2 or 3 days today in the grocery store today. So you can see how things have changed. But they paid their house payment, they paid their gasoline bill, the power bills, all that, folks, and $80 a week. That's how this nation has changed economically. And yeah, we prospered. You say we got bigger homes now, nicer cars. We everything's been up. We got more material possessions. But they did it all with a dead economy, with fiat currency. And now it's starting to come to roost. It took a long time. It's taken since 1960, since silver's taken out of dollars. It's taken a long time since gold's taken out in the Nixon's time for the international debt. We're seeing 50 years that this has built up. Now we're seeing a payday for it. Sad. This is talking about the UK, but folks, this is something kind of interesting. Ministers war game emergency plans to cope with week-long blackouts. White House documents warn food and water supplies, transport and communications could be disrupted for 7 days, and a national power outage amid fears of winter energy shortage. Government documents marked official sensitive, warned that food and water supplies, transport, and communication could be all be severely disrupted for up to 7 days in a reasonable worst-case scenario in the event of a national power outage. White House officials are stress-testing Program Yarrow, the second plan to cope with blackouts, which includes prioritizing getting food, water, and shelter to the young and elderly, as well as those with caring responsibilities amid an energy crisis sparked by the war in Ukraine. The cross-government plan was first drawn up last year before Vladimir Putin launched an invasion of Ukraine, and in a bid to improve planning and resilience in an event of major fault on the national grid, the Guardian reported. So they were making plans for this before Putin went into Ukraine. Well, why? Did they know something? Was this really something that it's been exacerbated because of the war in Ukraine now. But they're making these plans before they went to war with Ukraine. Makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? What's going on the inside? What's happening? This is kind of, to me, it's good news. A lot of people may not think so, especially the greenies. Wind farm in Germany is being dismantled to expand coal mine. Yay! Wind turbines near the Garchweiler open pit mine in the state of North Rhine, Westphalia, run by German energy giant RWE, is being removed to make way for more lignite exploitation. The turbines were in operation since 2001, and government subsidies have expired. Energy Contour and WPD, which is also active in the Balkans, operate the wind farm. It is unknown how long this deconstruction would take. So far, one wind turbine has been removed. Lignite for electricity production will be extracted where the wind turbines are now located. Garchweiler's annual production is 25 million tons, according to RWE. It estimated that lignite reserves in the area could last until 2045. The fuel was mostly supplied to nearby Nurent thermal power plant. And by the way, lignite, folks, is a good quality of high coal. So, Germany's had to learn a hard lesson. Going green won't work. And the people that want this, maybe some actually ain't enough to think of will. But I don't think all of them, most of them know, they know better. But they want these situations. First, they cause chaos, and out of chaos, they have order. Just like the old show, Get Smart. If you ever watched that show, if you ever saw it, if you haven't, maybe see a rerun. Most of y'all don't remember because you're not old enough to. But Maxwell Smart was the agent's name, and it was the title, Get Smart. Chaos was the bad guys. Order was the good guys. Now, who would have thought that this would be something that's planned even back then? They want order out of chaos. Who would have thought that the clues that were being brought out in shows like that, we'd see the actual happenings today? It's just amazing how the things have been foretold, even in movies and the theaters and homes and TVs. It's amazing. Russia warns U.S. non-military satellites are legitimate targets. Russia has now issued a new warning Thursday aimed at the United States at the moment Moscow appointed officials to appear to be threatening retreating from TGE Southern... Russia has issued a new warning Thursday aimed at the United States at the moment Moscow appointed officials appear to be retreating from the southern city of Kursk as it comes under increased Ukrainian shelling. Associated Press of the new Kremlin warning as follows. Reports in the Kremlin warning as follows. Amid the battles, Russia issued a warning that the United States could be drawn into the conflict, adding it could target Western commercial satellites used for military purposes in support of Ukraine. A statement came from the Deputy Chief of Russian Foreign Ministry, Arms Control, and Non-Proliferation Department, Konstantin Vorkostov, who said quasi-civilian infrastructure could be a legitimate target for retaliation. It also comes on the heels of the question of potential Pentagon funding for Elon Musk's Starlink systems after SpaceX said it can't be expected to foot the bill indefinitely. Ukraine's forces have called Starlink essential to its ability to repel the Russian advance, as it's often used in frontline communications where no other forms of links exist. According to Moscow Times, commercial satellites used by the United States to assist Ukraine in its war against Russia are legitimate targets for attacks, a Russian diplomat said Wednesday. Private assets like Elon Musk's Starlink satellite internet constellation, as well as Maxar and Planet Labs Earth observation satellites, have proven critical in keeping Ukrainians online and piercing the fog of war. I guess I see the point. If these civilian satellites are being used to on the side of Ukraine, I can see why Russia would want those things to be halted. I think that makes pretty good sense to me. Where this is going to lead, folks, I really don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this. We got a lot more news covered on this issue of war in Ukraine. There's a lot more that I want to share with you because it's heating up. It's really starting to make it... Well, if it's not drawing your attention by now, you're just not listening. Let's put it that way. Most people listen, I know, listen to CNN, ABC, or CBS, and other news sources. I very seldom take time to watch any of those. Every now and then, I do just see what's being said. But I don't think they get into the behind-the-scenes news that could get people a little bit concerned. This article I'm going to share right here has come from a good source, And it's kind of FYI, but it's no longer really a secret. It's out in public now. How the Russians found out it was the UK that bombed the Nord Stream pipelines. Over the past 2 days, the Russian Ministry of Defense publicly accused the UK of blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines. No proof was offered. I found out what the proof actually is, and is the reason Liz Truss is no longer Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Okay. When the Nord Stream natural gas pipeline between Russia and Germany blew up, most of the thinking world knew it was no accident. With Germany seeing intense political pressure from its citizens to resume buying Russian natural gas, halted after Russia entered Ukraine for a special military operation, folks in the United Kingdom were not pleased. It was thought within the UK that Germany was going to succumb to citizen pressure and make its own deal to buy Russian gas. You remember week four last month, Millie and I discussed this briefly, that there was a plan behind the scenes between Germany and Russia to restart buying gas, and the UK couldn't have that. You know what? The United States couldn't either. We couldn't allow this. The British and Americans could not let that happen. So a plan was hatched to take the choice away from Germany by blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines. But who would do it? The British decided they would. The Americans nodded approval. When the Nord Stream pipeline began to blow up, Russian natural gas firm Gazprom got alarms from sensors in the pipeline indicating the pressure had dropped massively and suddenly. Gazprom then knew the pipelines were ruptured. The computers at Gazprom, which recorded the minutes, seconds, the sensor alarms went off, all used coordinated universal time, UTC, for the timestamps. Exactly one minute, folks, after the alarm went off at Gazprom, iCloud reports that Prime Minister Liz Truss' phone showed that she used her iPhone to send a text message to Anthony Blinken, U.S. Secretary of State. The message read, "It's done." Repeat that. Exactly 1 minute, folks, 1 minute after the alarms went off at Gazprom, iCloud reports of Prime Minister Minister Liz Truss' iPhone showed that she used her iPhone to send a message to Antony Blinken, U.S. Secretary of State. The message, "It's done." The iCloud computers also use the coordinated universal time for message timestamps. So although Russia and U.K. are on different time zones, UTC proves that it actually was only at literally 1 minute after the Gazprom pressure sensor alarms went off that Liz Truss sent a message to Blinken. No one knew the pipelines had blown up. Gazprom knew there was a problem, but didn't know why. Liz Truss knew, because it was the British government that carried out the bombing, an act of state terrorism by the actual British government against the Russian Federation. Think about that for a moment. The British government is now factually an actual international terrorist organization. Except when governments do things that like this to other countries, it's not called terrorism. It's called something else, an act of war. And that is why Liz Truss is no longer British Prime Minister. Not because she approved the attack, but because she texted, "It's done," via insecure text messaging on her iPhone, which the Russians were able to access using admin privileges through iCloud, and the Russians already have the proof. Thanks to Liz Truss, the British are caught red-handed, having committed the bombing of pipelines that cost Russia about $15 billion between the two Nord Stream routes to construct. The British government did it. The British government is guilty. A bombing of someone else's critical infrastructure, an act of international terrorism. The American government knew this plan was in progress. The American government did nothing to stop the crime. Thus, the American government is in general, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken in particular, are at the very least guilty of misprision of a felony. At the worst, the American government and or Secretary of State Blinken are guilty as co-conspirators in a crime. Since there will be no justice for or through either the British or American governments, they seem to hold themselves above the law, the only alternative to Russia is war. I'm told it's coming. That comes from a secure source. But I want to share it because I think it's important. We'll see what comes out of that. So now we know why Liz Truss was exiled so quickly. She blew the cover. She spoke much too quickly. 1 minute after the explosion, she said, "It's done." Gas probably just found out. They didn't know what happened. But she blew it when she used iCloud on an insecure line of the phone to say it's done. Wow. What that's going to mean, folks, I have no idea. But Putin made a little speech, I guess you could say. This is what he said. "Your people do not yet feel an impending sense of danger. That worries me. Can't you see the world is being pulled in an irreversible direction? Meanwhile, people pretend that nothing is going on. I don't know how to get through to you anymore." President Putin, said that. "I don't know how to reach you any longer. The Russians have put their nuclear weapons on high alert. This is a really significant development. They are sending us very powerful signals as to how seriously they take the crisis. So if we start winning and the Russians start losing, you need to understand that we're talking about doing here in is backing a nuclear armed great power that sees what's happening as an existential threat into a corner." Folks, I don't think you want to back a bear into a corner. This is really dangerous. Go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't think that what happened in the Cuban Missile Crisis was as threatening to us as the situation is to the Russians. But if you go back and look at what U.S. decision makers thought at the time, they were scared stiff. After this next kind of break, I'm going to finish this article and a lot more. Things are heating up, folks. Prepare yourself. Please prepare yourself. The dollar is going to go away. Don't know when. Not David. I don't say it's going to disappear at once, but it's going to go away. It's going to be falling in value every day. 800-375-4188. Give Melody a call. Ask questions. Use the paper while you're still worth something to purchase something of value, folks. Water filters, food, whatever you can get. But this is a warning from Russia. From Putin himself, said people don't understand what's going on. And it's got him really concerned. We're going to end up, and it should us too. We're going to get further in this article and a couple more that folks you might want to listen to, because we're doing to Russia what they tried to do to us back in 1962. And Kennedy stopped it. We'll see what happens.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we're back and already down the final segment for the night. And I got quite a bit more news I want to share with you. And I hope that you listen to what I'm saying. Folks, please understand, I'm a nobody. I'm an old hillbilly preacher out of West Virginia. I'm a nobody. But God's blessed me with information and maybe some wisdom from His Word and knowledge of what's happening in the country and the world, because I like to study these things. I like to study history. I like to study scriptures and line them up with the scriptures. And I like to study the history. I mean, line up with scriptures and the current events line up with scriptures. It makes everything come to sense, folks. It really makes perfect sense once you see the scriptures coming alive. I just read to you that we're doing to Russia as they tried to do to us in Cuba, 1962. Putin does not want Washington nuclear missiles parked on his western border in the Ukraine. For security reasons, he cannot allow this. He has made this excruciatingly clear over and over again. As he said on December 21st, 2021, more than a month before the war began, if U.S. and NATO missile systems are deploying Ukraine, their flight time to Moscow would be 7 to 10 minutes, or even 5 minutes for hypersonic systems. No American president would allow a potential adversary to deploy their nuclear missiles to sites like along the Mexican-American border. The risk to national security would be far too great. In fact, Washington would remove those missile sites through force of arms without batting an eye. We all know that. So why isn't that same standard applied to Russia? Why are policymakers siding with the U.S. and NATO when all the parties involved, we know what is at stake and know that they all have signed treaties and promises not to improve their own security at the expense of their neighbors? These are not just meaningless verbal commitments that were made in casual conversations over cocktails. These are promises that have been signed in treaties that the signatories are required to honor. The United States and every nation, NATO, have signed treaties in Istanbul in 1999 and Astana in 2010 that stipulate they cannot improve their own security at the expense of others. There's no doubt that NATO expansion enhances the security of Ukraine while weakening the security of Russia. That much is indisputable. And it's not just a violation of treaties, but a clear provocation tantamount to the declaration of war. Check out this short, well, we're going to talk about some other things you said about what this could bring into. Folks, we are punching them in the face, poking the bear in the face with a stick and wondering why he's getting angry with us. We want to put missiles on their border, right on their back door. And we don't think that when we think that we want to stop them from doing that to us. I mean, that's unthinkable. I don't have what our reason could be in this situation. America ceased being a good guy, folks, a long time ago, whenever they started provoking other wars, overturning nations, and we've done that for many years now. And tonight's guest in my program, we're discussing some of this on our broadcast tonight. Will U.S. back off as Russia did in Cuba? 60 years ago today, October 28th, this written, of course, a few days ago, the U.S. and Russia stepped back from the brink of nuclear war by making a deal. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev would yield to President John F. Kennedy's demand that Soviet missiles be removed from Cuba. Kennedy pledged not to invade. There is an instructive analogy with Ukraine today. Now, folks, this analogy... Kennedy said, if you take the missile away, we won't invade Cuba. He's ready to invade Cuba. this analogy is right on the day. Soviet documents that were revealed after USSR imploded show how this all went down and how we all would have gone down, literally, were it not for the statesmanlike behavior of both leaders and their acute realization of the stakes involved. Some of what I include below is drawn from a book by Alexander Prinsko and Timothy Nafali that is based on those documents. They called it One Heck of a Gamble, The Secret History of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, folks, this is what it says. On October 20, 1962, Khrushchev wrote Kennedy, "I thank you for the sense of proportion you have displayed. The Soviet government has given a new order to dismantle the arms, which you describe as offensive, and to create and return them to the Soviet Union. And so we all got to live another 60 years so far." The authors of One Heck of a Gamble called a particular attention to an exceedingly important fact, namely that most of the Khrushchev's advisors had personal experience of war, World War II, which left 26 million Russian Soviets dead. Neither Joe Biden, received five deferments from Vietnam, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, nor Secretary of State Anthony Blinken have had any such experience. Will America blink? For the sake of the world, I hope so. For the sake of our children and grandchildren, I pray so. But it doesn't seem like they're taking this warning seriously yet. In stunning strategy reversal, Pentagon will no longer rule out use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear threat. Now, let me repeat that. In a stunning strategy reversal, Pentagon will no longer rule out use of nuclear weapons against a non-nuclear threat. Are we serious? Well, we're finally there. Stocks are officially trading off nuclear war headlines. Moments ago, as part of his closing watch speech, Vladimir Putin appeared to talk down the likelihood of a nuclear attack in Ukraine. Putin said no political military reason is nuke strike in Ukraine, whichever is more than we can be said about the U.S. As Bloomberg reported, the Pentagon's new National Defense Secretary rejects limits on using nuclear weapons long championed by arms control advocates, and in the not-too-distant past by Joe Biden, citing burgeoning threats from Russia and China. By the 2030s, the United States will, for the first time in its history, face two major nuclear powers as strategic competitors and potential adversaries, the Defense Department said in the long-awaited document issued Thursday. In response, the U.S. will maintain a very high bar for nuclear deployment without ruling out using the weapons in retaliation to a non-nuclear strategic threat to the homeland, U.S. forces abroad, or allies. So we're threatening. Putin said he wouldn't use them. We said we will. What's that going to mean? I don't know. You tell me. What's that going to bring out this in the long run? Who's going to be the sensible ones here? It can't be Biden. The man can't tie his own shoes, I don't think. Who's going to be the sensible ones here? Who's going to talk this out? Who's going to make this needed compromise or this needed, I don't know what word to use, conciliation that will let us not go into this hell of a mess of a nuclear war, folks? Who's going to be the one to break this ice? Pentagon confirms U.S. boots are on the ground in Ukraine. Now, I didn't stutter. That's what it says. Two bombshell reports by the Associated Press and Washington Post Monday and Tuesday have confirmed the United States has boots on the ground in the Ukraine conflict. Crucially, these troops are performing tasks separate from their embassy security. The American troops are said to be performing inspections of U.S. weapon caches after last week, the State Department and Pentagon unveiled a new plan to attack U.S. To track U.S. supplied weapons in efforts to implement accountability for the millions of dollars worth of arms and ammunition transferred to Ukrainian forces since near the start of the war 8 months ago. A small number of U.S. military forces inside Ukraine have recently begun doing on-site inspections to ensure that Ukrainian troops are properly accounting for the Western provided weapons they receive, a senior U.S. defense official told Pentagon reporters Monday. Now, folks, boots on the ground, if you think all we're doing is looking at weapons, I think we better take a cookie and go back to bed. And everything's all right. Go back to sleep. Santa Claus is coming. I mean, if we really believe this, it started in Vietnam. And how do I know this, folks? I was alive with this. I was in that mess. And in that era, I was there. I mean, I know what happened. I was partaking of that in the sense with what I was done and the job I was doing. This is the same scenario we had back then. We're going in as advisors. We're not getting involved. We're not going to fight. Next thing, we're up to eyeballs in this. At the loss of 60,000 or so men in a police action, and how many hundreds of thousands more killed themselves since you got home? Died from exposure to Agent Orange and other things. I myself am a diabetic because of Agent Orange. It killed my pancreas, and they'll admit that. It did. But nonetheless, they start out boots on the ground just to advise and show them how to use the weapons correctly. U.S. sends precision nuclear weapons to Europe in huge upgrade to arsenal, folks. Here we go. Just what I just said. Putin said they don't understand, people, what this is going to lead to. Joe Biden is sending adjustable, highly accurate tactical nuclear weapons to Europe as part of a 8.5 billion pound upgrade, which will send a clear signal to Vladimir Putin. Yeah, I will. The Pentagon has insisted the move is unconnected to the Russian president's nuclear threats, but the announcement nevertheless came hours after Putin's latest belligerent speech. The Dala-Yield B-61-12 thermonuclear bombs are so called because their payloads can be switched between 0.3, 1.5, 10, and 50 kilotons. By comparison, the bomb which was dropped in Hiroshima in 1945 had a yield of roughly 15 kilotons. Measuring 12 feet in length, they are equipped with tail kits, enabling them to deliver via plane, either as a dumb gravity bombs or when it actually 30 meters via guided drop mode. Okay, we may have sent on nukes over there, folks. Why would we be doing that? Right on the border of Russia. Well, Russia is building bomb shelters. What a coincidence. And Moscow authorities are inspecting the bomb shelters in the city schools. This is not a routine or academic exercise. The officials involved have been directed to get the shelters in working order right now. Notifications have gone out in Moscow to inform residents that bomb shelters are being prepared. The Education Department is issuing instructions to all institutions under its control to outfit new shelters in addition to those in existence. Moscow hospitals are also involved in the efforts. Shelters are being set up in the hospitals as well and equipped with electricity, lighting, disposable plates, and water. Moscow Social Protection Department has been charged with painting arrows on the street and public buildings to direct people to bomb shelters. Parking garages are also being converted into bomb shelters. Bunks first and kits and heaters are also being brought in. People using the garages have been told to move their cars. So they're bringing in bunks, first aid kits right into garages and clearing the cars out and building bomb shelters. Similar actions are being taken in other major Russian cities. Emergency warning systems are being tested. Lists of locations suitable to be converted into additional shelters are being compiled. And what are we doing? Trying to push the right button. But in a sense of maybe some good news, I guess you could say, and that this, we'll see if it could de-escalate some things some. Let's get out of NATO. Discontent soars across Europe as Russian sanctions backfire. Western sanctions against Russia have been considered a powerful foreign policy tool by the U.S. and EU to paralyze Moscow's back to the Stone Age. Those sanctions against Moscow have entirely backfired, sparking the worst cost of living crisis for Europeans in generation. And in early September, we first noticed a wave of discontent sweeping across Europe as tens of thousands of people took the city streets to protest soaring electricity bills and the worst inflation in decades. Some countries delivered relief packages to citizens to tame the anger, while other countries did not have the financial capacity to hand out checks. Tens of thousands of people have marched across metro areas in France, Belgium, and the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Germany. Many of them are fed up with sanctions on Russia that have marked economic ruins for many households and businesses. But also, very surprising, support for NATO's involvement in Ukraine is waning. There's been increasing awareness of dissent among Europeans about their country's leaders prioritizing NATO's ambition in Ukraine over their own citizens. The prioritization has been in the form of sanctions against Moscow, sparking energy hyperinflation and supplying weapons to Ukraine, which has made Moscow displeased with any country that does so. Some Europeans are now demanding NATO negotiate with Moscow at the end of the war so the economic turmoil can abate. Well, good for them. NATO is losing some clout because the people fed up with it already. They're paying the price, and their governments seem not to care what price is costing the citizens. They're pushing harder for nuclear war. America's backing them, sending them weapons. And the people are saying, we don't want it. Stop it now. Will this get big enough to make a difference? I pray so. Folks, I don't understand why in America we aren't saying more ourselves. I mean, Americans are fat, dumb, and lazy as a whole. I'm just saying like it is. I'm American. I can say it. We become soft spiritually, mentally, and physically. We are the easiest people in the world to be hoodwinked any longer, anymore. It's just the way it is. We follow the rules. We follow the law because the election wasn't stolen. They said it wasn't, so we got to believe it. That's just the way things are in America today. Give Melody a call. 800-375-4188. Folks, I promise you'll be glad you did. Makes you feel a little bit more secure knowing that you have something of value that you can trade or sell to feed yourself and your family if things fall apart. I'll be back with you Friday. We'll be on with Melody. And she'll be back with Dave tomorrow. So have a great night. Good night.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.